the subdivision and rezoning at the area bounded by Gun Road, Hewittson Road, and Redonda Street under file DASZ 18 of 2014.
All right. We have one delegation, we have a number of people, but anyway, Ms. Wilkie, you're the applicant. Okay, joined by Mr. Boyle.
Yes.
And Susan Russell, also in support.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is in response to the ACG report that's been submitted for what we call the Northwoods subdivision. I'd like to go through a quick PowerPoint just to ensure that Councillor Schreier, who hasn't been on EKTCC, knows where we started from and where we're going to on this particular project. We started out with working with our Winnipeg and Complete Communities. A parcel of land was identified as a major redevelopment site located in the northeast corner of the city. From that, we developed the North Precinct Plan through work with the City of Winnipeg, local residents, professionals for engineering and the city departments. The plan has evolved from being a mix of multifamily, single-family residential, commercial, and recreational to the plan that you see here, which is majority of it being single-family residential, a small section of either commercial or multifamily, and then a large area of M1 light industrial to work as a buffer in regards to the existing heavy industrial over with Griffin Wheel and Border Chemicals. There's also a large section of land of 25 acres that's been set aside as a nature reserve, which we'll also talk about in our presentation today. The connections throughout the site are shown on this drawing with both pedestrian cycling connections and the new road connections on this for the development. This is our conceptual plan of subdivision for the areas that we're looking at right now. As we spoke about at the beginning of the last meeting where we adjourned this, we had new information from MIT where they had requested a larger land taking on the corner, which required a modification to our plan that you can see here. With the single-family residential, it's based around a central pond system with connections with park and pathway systems that connect both north-south and east-west across the development. The residential component connects onto the main road that goes out to the street onto Redonda at a controlled intersection. The other side of the road is a much simpler loop. Much smaller for the development. There's a connection here for future development of the adjacent residential sites if they ever choose to subdivide. The subdivision is planned to be developed in phases. Phase one in the southwest corner of the development is closest to the existing development in Transcona. With that would also be the development of one of the ponds for land drainage requirements. Phase two moving up to the north, phase three in the center, four on the other side of the parks or on the other side of the ponds for the loop, phase five filling in towards the ponds, and then phase six is where we would come into contention with the new land taking with MIT. Phase seven in the southeast corner towards the highway, the perimeter highway, phase 8 and 9 over on the opposite side of Redonda. We've done there's a lotting plan that's been completed for phase 1, working with both RMFS and R1S and R1M housing types, and the roads fronting onto the main road would be having a frontage roads on both sides. In the ACG report, we had a number of items that we would like to recommend making some modifications to the ACG report. The first is item 2A2. The clause states the developer shall, at no expense to the city, construct within the rear yards of all one and two family lots abutting Gun Road a uniform noise attenuation feature of no less than 4 meters in height, consisting of no less than 1.5 2-meter height landscape berm and no less than 1.8 meter height solid noise attenuation fence to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. The developer is to permit the city to file a caveat against the title of each of these proposed lots abutting Gun Road, requiring the owners to maintain and or repair and replace the fences as originally constructed to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works. The berm is not to be constructed within the future widening of Gun Road. We feel that this is not in accordance with the precinct plan, the secondary plan that was developed. In the graphic that you can see here, this is taken directly from the secondary plan, and it shows that the berm is located so that the apex of the berm is on the property line, with the downslope side of the berm going in the road right-of-way and the fence being on just within the property line of the single-family houses. We would propose to modify the sentence to read, the berm is to be constructed as per Figure 5 of the Transcona North Precinct Plan, Schedule 1 of Bylaw 1-2014, as approved by the Director of Public Works for the last sentence, and to add the words at the apex of the berm within the rear property line after the words solid noise attenuation fence. Yep.
What's the difference?
The original clause in the ACG report has the berm entirely within the property, so no part of the berm, including the down slope of the berm, would be outside of the property, and the fence would not, and having the fence not at the property line but inside of the properties at the apex of the berm. So rather than the property line being at the fence, the property line would be at the toe of the slope, according to the ACG.
Well, wouldn't you want that?
To have the fence down at the bottom of the slope, or the property line down at the bottom, you would. It's easier to maintain if you have your fence at the top of your berm. Otherwise, people tend to want to move the fences down to the bottom of the slope, so no longer have your noise attenuation.
I see. Okay. No, that makes sense. But you're still talking about the same setbacks, correct?
Yes, same setbacks.
Why would they be recommending otherwise, do you think?
They don't want to have the berm on public property for maintenance, would be the my understanding.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. Our next recommendation is on clauses 8 and 9 to modify the time frame to add an additional year. In the past, developers have required more time than the standard time frame to complete registration and approval process, and we're respectfully requesting this extension.
What is this? An additional year be added to all time frames?
For clauses 8 and 9 in the ACG report, which is... In the plan considerations. Eight is the developer ensuring that. Oh no. Okay. Where's? Sorry, it's in the administrative report.
The subdivision shall be approved and signed by the Director of Planning and Property within 1 year from the date of the bylaw is passed. Failing that matter, isn't that a challenge? That's a standard clause, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Extension.
Yeah. If you need more time, you can apply for extension.
Okay.
So, I don't know. So 8 and 9, these are standard clauses that are in all applications.
Certain time periods. Yep.
Okay.
The next item comes under the servicing.
These are all the same things in your letter, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Under servicing for sidewalks, clause 6A, construct a 1.5 meter wide by 100 millimeter thick Portland concrete sidewalk on standard alignment 0.3 from the property line on both sides of all streets within a right-of-way within width of 22 meters or greater, except where multi-use paths are constructed. We're looking to adjust this so that we add the phrase or as required by the precinct plan, in that the precinct plan has different locations for pathways than having sidewalk on both sides. On this plan, you can see the sidewalk is the blue that goes around the outside edge of the main road all the way around. And as per the precinct plan, the red is the pathway connections, and they stop where the connection comes through on the north-south, but continue on the east-west to connect up to the ring road on that side, rather than having the pathway come around on both sides all the way around.
To be honest with you, I think you've got an overkill of pathways here. I mean, your pathway system is, I could understand the through pathway north and south. I could understand part of it east and west through the parks. But beyond that, having the paths running along the roads where you're going to have approaches and everything else, it doesn't seem to make any sense. No boulevard now, you're just going
to... This has the frontage roads along
the side.
Yeah, I know,
but you're going to have, it's going to be just solid cement then down the middle end. You're not going to have anything else. Correct?
Yes.
Seems redundant.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, but doesn't that already take care of itself? It says here where there's a pathway, you don't need a sidewalk.
We're looking at not having the pathway on the part that becomes a narrow road on the east side of the loop.
Why?
Because we don't have frontage roads on that side.
You don't have frontage roads?
No, we do not. We're proposing not to have frontage roads on that side.
So how what would you have instead?
Just having a wider road right-of-way, a wider street for transit to be able to maneuver.
But you will have front drive still?
Yes. It's the amount of traffic coming from this small section of housing in here, even including any development on the other side, does not warrant having this is a major a residential collector. The amount of cars coming by is not enough to make it required to have the ring road or the frontage roads until you get to a point where there's the additional houses for this.
I can agree with your issue with regards to not requiring the collector roads, but you're going to need a sidewalk on both sides.
Okay.
You know, and what I would do is change the sidewalk so that you don't have a sidewalk running.
Do
you have a sidewalk
on
both sides of that entire ring road.
Okay.
No pathway like you have now, right?
That would be
the only place that you would have a pathway coming out is on that main road coming
in. Come through here?
That one there, yeah. That
okay.
one there. That makes sense. And the one coming down south, that yeah. linkage there?
Yeah.
Up into the linkage to the one in the park?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But beyond that, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
So, are you making notes of these changes?
That's why I have stenographers behind me.
Okay, good. And the same thing goes with the internal. Well, mind you, the internal one could be leading somewhere else on the other side as well. You have it there coming on the other side, on the west side of Redonda. That does make sense.
This one here.
That one makes sense. I believe the public service wants you to realign that road to the north to be in line with that one there. Yeah. They want to align it further south to be in line with the main road coming in. Do you have any issue with that?
The people who are adjacent may have an issue as it lines up with a position where their existing houses are. If they were to subdivide their land, this would allow them to still have their residential lots to the north and then subdivide south with the industrial if they
so
were
to. So would you have any issue with providing two right-of-ways there? One there and one at the other line.
Well,
means the loss of
that
a
would
lot.
Be a little tight for... We'd have to take a look with the adjacent property owners and see where they would want to connect in.
Okay.
Yeah. Two is good.
Okay. Who's making notes of these changes?
Our next item is on Redonda. We'd like to add a clause with the developer and city are to endeavor to maintain existing infrastructure on Redonda where feasible in construction of the new road. We understand that Redonda was just rebuilt a little while ago with new pavements, and depending on how the pavement is constructed and where the where the grading will take us and what we need to do, we'd like to make sure that we're keeping as much of that pavement as possible rather than just saying that we're rebuilding the entire road from scratch without taking into account.
Wouldn't that be normally done?
Sometimes, sometimes not. Depends on, because it's a ditch cross section right now, it may be a wholesale change if it's not noted ahead of time.
Yeah, but I believe they want you to build concrete cross-section here. Do you, is it not concrete cross-section or cross-section?
Yeah, and that's why we say where feasible. Would, yeah.
But then you would really be losing the existing Redonda that's there.
Again, it's just where it's feasible. If we can, on the south end, where it leads into the existing development, if there's anything in there that's salvageable rather than...
Well, I'm assuming that... correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm wrong, but where it transitions back, that'd be transitioning to a rural cross-section again, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
In your design details, if there's...
Yeah, it's just the intent
pavement that
to...
you could maintain, then of course they do it, so...
Yeah. But yeah. Maybe your wording's a little wrong here, but
okay.
I, you know, south of the existing cross-section, four-lane cross-section, but to maintain as much as possible
yeah.
the existing roadway-based work that's been done, I don't see any issue with that, but it's just, maybe it's not this type of wording.
Okay.
I'm not sure why we're
in agreement with that. Like,
yeah,
why
I don't think you need it.
Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but anyway. Public Works wouldn't, I don't think, make you, you're not talking about going in and turning this into a two-lane concrete cross-section, are we? South of where it transitions down, great.
In time,
it becomes concrete. Yeah.
In time.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, they're required. They will be required to change it to concrete.
Who will be required?
The developer.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? There's no access to it.
What do you mean? There's no access.
There's no.
Well, they front on it. Like their property on both sides.
So when would they be required in the application? When are they required to change that?
When it's necessary, and they would work with Public Works to determine when it's required.
I see. Okay.
Our next request for amendment has to deal with the signalization and intersection improvements noted in the report. The clause states the developer shall pay the city on demand 100% of the cost of the installation of traffic control signals and all related works, including but not limited to pedestrian and vehicular attenuate actuation and interconnection to the adjacent traffic control signals, countdown and audible pedestrian signals at the intersection of Redonda Street and Gunn Road, when and as determined by the Director of Public Works. It's our understanding in the secondary plan that... it's not just this intersection, but also Day and Gunn and Plessy and Gunn that were looked at in our traffic impact assessment. They also looked at these items. And in the secondary plan, it was to be based on the traffic impact assessment as to the percentage required to be contributed to the intersections. And that's what we're asking for as a change to this.
This will be a major concern, so
okay.
Let's move on and we'll come back to this.
All right.
So.
The next clause is, in response to the berm, it's in the first portion of the report and then in the main ECG report as well, in the public service recommendations and then also in Part C of the agreement clause for the berm being at the apex of or the property line and the fence being at the apex of the berm on the back of the property line. We're asking that the fence be at the apex of the berm within the rear property line rather than having the berm fully within the lots.
So you're saying that the apex of the berm be the
property line.
Does that do anything in terms of the setback with the homes to the
fence should be right on the property line, but within the property line, so it's on private property. And typically what happens is the toe of the berm, if you want, is on the public right of way. And that's actually how the new ACG report is worded. So
okay.
So it's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. It's been changed. Okay.
Already was changed. The okay. planner's report, which you referred to before, has to be changed.
Okay.
I'm just trying to visualize this. Is this like what it is at Eaglemere Estates, where the Eaglemere fence is right on the top of the berm? Is that equivalent?
Yes.
Okay.
The next clause is in regards to the provision for public reserve. Just looking at it, we don't have an issue with any of the clause in, as far as the amount of land to be provided of the 8%, or if not, then having the funds, providing funds to do it. We'd like to add to the clause as to what's allowed to be reimbursed for the amount of, or to count for the amount of dedication to be done in lieu of land, including but not limited to naturalization of pond, park area, pathway, waste receptacles, benches, etc., after site amenities in the last sentence of each of the clauses, just so that it states exactly what would be allowed to be counted for the dedication. And then in clause 21E for maintenance and would be per phase of development for the maintenance of the parks.
What does that mean?
We have 2 years that are required for maintenance of parks areas. And rather than it sounded a little ambiguous to us as to whether it was for 2 years or till the after everything was developed or after each phase of the development was completed. So if we do a park in phase one and complete the maintenance and it gets handed over to the city, we don't want to be responsible for that until the end of phase nine.
Okay. Just jumping back, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just on this one,
yeah.
Sorry. I thought you're at full dedication now. Like, what, why would there be cash in lieu?
No, we're short by 1.1 acre? Yeah, sorry. Approximately 1 acre right now. With having to adjust things with MIT and the lands and moving things around and making sure we had correct areas for ponds, we were short by 1 acre.
Yeah, I don't have any, in light of the 25 acres that there is, I don't have any issue with that request.
Okay.
I think that's more than reasonable, so.
Yeah.
So, okay to that one. The other one here, though, with regards to the parks being carried over, is that something that, have we done this before?
Yeah, it's typical that when you do, you know, one park, that you carry forward phase by phase.
Okay, so we say okay to that one. The jumping back to your map of your trails and everything, I was just looking at it here, sorry, while you were talking. I noticed the pathway map you have down at the south end. Pathways to connect to the Transcona Trail across Hydro Corridor with permission of Manitoba Hydro, which...
Yeah.
So why don't we... That should really be in brackets with permission of Manitoba Hydro, since we know they will give permission.
Okay.
And the really... this refers to pathways 1, 2, 3, and 4, correct?
1, 2, and 3. The other one connects to the Cordite Trail.
No, I'm talking about the one running along Redonda.
Oh, this one here as well. Yes, sorry, the one that's on Redonda itself.
So it's
yes.
1, 2, 3,
That one we don't have to worry because it's in the right-of-way.
Right. Good. But let's make sure that those connect. And then at the top of your map, I'm afraid we're going to have to make that connection here. Not to be, I could understand you not building out to the east, but you're going to have to build a path back to.
We won't be able to do that at the correct elevation. It'll end up being a throwaway because
Why?
That will have to be built when the expansion of Gun Road is done to Chief Pegwis. They'll be creating the grade for the back slope of the berm and then where the pathway is, and we won't be able to know exactly where that pathway needs to be in relation to the road until they start building the road.
Not unless we put the berm on your property. Which is what they're recommending. Anyway, then we would know.
Well, you still wouldn't know because your berms, you'd still have to have your pathway in the right of way somewhere.
By the time we are having to figure out the elevation for the pathway because of the widening of Gun Road,
we'll have to be
replacing that AT path anyways because it'll be the end of its life.
So we'll do the connection from Redonda to the connection that goes east.
If that's all right, yes. Yeah. In light of all the other pathways we're removing, right? So, okay. I don't see the necessity in having a pathway, to be quite honest with you, way over here. You have one connection down in the middle there. You have that middle one. What's the point
this
of having
here?
That? Yeah, what's the point of that?
This is for the... to connect up, because there's potential development on the adjacent property towards the perimeter highway.
Correct.
That just sort of gives a little bit more balance on the number of spots where you're able to connect over into the Transcona Trail. So you don't have to go quite as far into the neighborhood to get down to the Transcona Trail.
Okay. Sorry,
let's
continue.
Just looking, I'm Google mapping this, and I look at a satellite view, and I see the area which is south of Gun Road and is west of Redonda over one lot plan. It shows on your precinct plan single family residential in gold, and then to the west of that light industrial.
Yes.
But I see in the satellite where there's light industrial, it looks like I see residential. I see some houses.
There are four homes here
in
this area.
So how does that work?
That was a decision that was made that they're existing residential that can remain there until such time as it gets developed.
Yeah, they can stay.
Yeah, they stay there until any type of development would be done. But if any development or subdivision on those lots is to be done, then it needs to become light industrial as a buffer to the heavy industrial. That was developed through the precinct plan process to create the setback to the single-family residential.
Any sub-developments have to be light industrial,
mm-hmm.
but they may remain their grandfathered in, so to speak, if you will.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And that's rights? Right.
It's just, it plans for the future.
Okay. I'm just sort of surprised then that the single family residential doesn't sort of L over like a 7 to include those four lots. That's all.
It was the line that was determined through the planning process.
Okay. Dawn. New to me, but thank you.
We're at clause 22. This one.
Clause 22 is the developer shall, upon registration of the plan of subdivision, transfer at no cost to the city no less than 25 acres of land designated as public reserve to be used for the development of the nature reserve. Open space area, the final location and configuration shall be approved by the director of planning property and development. We'd like to modify this clause so that we can add that the public reserve is outside the planned area, as our planned area only includes the lands adjacent to Redonda and doesn't include the lands that were shown in the precinct plan for the 25-acre public reserve outside of our planned area. So it's outside the planned area as shown on Schedule C, which is shown here, of the precinct plan. This nature reserve shall be established, and add the sentence, this nature reserve shall be established in perpetuity and cannot be used for any other purpose or designated as surplus lands to be sold for any other use. The developer retains the right to name the nature reserve park. The objective of this is just to show where the lands would be outside of the planned area.
What is the thought between the developer retains the right to name the nature reserve lands?
The owner is possibly wanting to have a legacy name for himself in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. Is there any potential interest in terms of getting the private sector, not-for-profit sector, Sierra Club, think organization like this to the table to help raise funds to actually build this nature reserve, which means planting trees and whatnot?
I believe that's the intent in the long-term portion of this, is to get community groups involved and nature groups involved to help work on establishing the nature reserve.
Because, I mean, if the developer's interested in a legacy project, I have no issue. You wouldn't have to retain the right, we'll just decide it. So.
Just trying to get some information.
As long as he's prepared to help in that regard.
As far as helping to coordinate the groups to
right.
work on it. I think once development starts moving forward, we'd be able to make a better adjustment or statement on how that would work.
Okay.
Mr. Weeb, at this point, Mr. Weeb likely will not be able to organize bringing groups together to actually pay for the redevelopment, so if that means he can't have the right to name it, that's fine.
Okay. What's the next one?
And the last is in regards to the location of the berm within the nature reserve, just again adding a note on Schedule C of the precinct plan to show where the berm should be located within the nature reserve.
We don't show that now, or
it's shown in the precinct plan. It's not because these lands are outside of the planned area.
Oh, then we're going to show it here. Okay.
Yeah.
And when would this be built? When is it being required to be built? When was the timing and your thought?
Prior to as we're digging the ponds, that's when the berm would be built.
Gotcha. Okay. Was there anything else?
That was all of the items. Did you want to go back to the item with the signalization?
Yeah. I mean, that's the big concern is the traffic issue in terms of what's going to be generated. What are your phases in terms of your numbers here? And you're coming back to your phases on page, where was it?
The phase plan?
Yeah. What are your numbers in terms of the number of your residential?
Number of units per phase is what you're asking for?
Following, yeah. Like, for example, phase one is 88, I think?
Yes.
So 88 in phase one.
Approximately the same amount for phase two, maybe slightly less. Phase three would be almost 100 within that area.
Phase 3?
Yeah. Phase 4 would be approximately, we're trying to break them up in around the 100-unit, 100-lot mark for each one of them. They'll be off between 10 and 20 per phase, depending on where the cut line is.
Okay. So phase 5 would be 100 as well?
Yes, because there's the three components of phase 5. So you have the two bays by the lakes and then the one section over on the ring road.
Mentioned an overabundance of pathways, and you had suggested at one point or along a route sidewalk instead. Is that correct, Councillor?
Well, my experience has been is like the where there. Yeah, that's correct. To answer your question, yes.
Okay, so what's the difference between pathway and sidewalk? Is it kind of pathway, does it apply gravel or can it be paved?
Typically, these are 3.5 meter wide active transportation pathways, multi-use active transportation, 3.5 meter wide asphalt versus a 1.5 meter wide sidewalk, traditional sidewalk.
And could I get your insights? You were about to say something in your experience regarding the two media.
Well, it's just that, for example, you see where the pathways, I don't know if you have that one drawing. So, for example, Councillor, on the left-hand side, not that far left on the interior road, your loop road there. You see those service roads?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, when you have service roads like that, typically you'll have a sidewalk connecting to the sidewalks at the top or bottom ends of each service road, but you would not have exactly there. You wouldn't have a sidewalk necessarily running down the middle of the service, the island between the service road and the main road, because the service road, in a sense, is like having a street without a, you know, you're not, you don't have a busy street if you're on a service road.
Sure.
So if you put a pathway down the boulevard, basically what you've done is just asphalted down the island. You've just turned the whole thing into asphalt, which frankly is ugly. Not only that, it does an issue with snow storage too in the winter. It's a concern. So that was really what I was getting at. Yeah, rather than having some green at least. Coming back to, I mean, the issue we have here is, okay, you have a traffic intersection you're being required through the ACG report to be installed at your main entrance exit at the development, correct?
Yeah.
Where you're 100% responsible, correct? And
yes.
And the public service is also calling you to be responsible for 100%. No, go back to the, I'm a visual, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to get to the,
Public service is also calling that you have a, an intersection also at Gunn and Redonda as well, fully signalized as well. And your all of your maps that you've supplied us with, by the way, that you through the advertising, has shown Gunn to be provided with upgrades with auxiliary lanes.
As conceptually
it's conceptual, but it's only conceptual because you're coming forward with a development. Correct? So, I mean, it's hard to argue against that, you know, because that's going to be your main egress, more so than almost than your main entrance in many ways, because you're going to have also the through traffic in that area combined with your development. That intersection will be the main intersection for your development coming in. So I can't see us doing anything other than including that in terms of what's been what the public service is now recommending in the ACG. Though I can say that the timing is, like, I mean, your intersection, that would have to be done at the beginning, but your light timing there may not necessarily be done. You could potentially have a four-way intersection at Gunn and Redonda, you know, mm-hmm. for a period of time. And as far as that goes, you could also probably have a four-way stop intersection at your main road and Redonda as well for a period of time.
Yeah, and until a critical point of build-out, I believe, yes, for the...
Yeah, well...
It says it's around 50% of build-out.
I didn't wait that long, but anyway.
Given that, it's really, you know, the our Public Works Department would wait till there's proper warrants, and then at that time it would justify doing it. So.
Yeah. But their warrant system is archaic. It's based on also accidents, and MPI doesn't give them data for 4 or 5 years, so, you know, it doesn't make any sense following that warrant system.
Through it a few times if you want more accidents.
No problem. No. Ride my bike. Anyway, so when's the timing then, Greg, in terms of the of these upgrades that are being required in the ACG report? When's the timing?
Again, they're not specific in terms of when they're required. Typically what happens is the Public Works Department will determine, you know, again, when the traffic lights are warranted, when the intersection improvements are required, okay, and such.
And what about the half signal issue down at Transcona Boulevard? Has that been identified here?
At the Transcona Trail?
Yeah.
That one's part of the, we understand that one to be part of the requirements.
Is that in the ACG?
Yeah.
Okay, and that is determined when?
You probably need it right away because it's an existing trail.
Right.
As soon as the trail.
Yeah, we understand that one will need to be in fairly soon after development starts.
Okay, so we have a number of amendments. So I think we've kind of indicated which ones we're agreeable to. So what we need to do is come back with a typed up list of them that we've agreed to. I think we've kind of come to the ones that we've agreed to. Is that clear, or should we go through them all again?
No, I think we've come to an understanding of
that. But I need the public service to bring them to us, to this table, mm-hmm, in January with a clear list, with a new diagram, with a clear list of the amendments. And so with the amendments to your AT path system and your sidewalk system, with the amendments, I agree with your amendment with the fence, mm-hmm, so where it should go instead. I want an amendment with the dog park being proposed on the Hydrolands.
So we could add that in here as if approved by Manitoba Hydro.
Right. Well, assuming that it would be nice to get their tacit approval now. You have a month to write to them and ask.
They take a minimum of 3 months.
Well, once you write to them, let me know. We'll phone them.
Make an application during development.
Okay. But they've done it elsewhere. Brenda Leipzig Park, for example, was under the Hydro right away. So design and map of those, the dog park, will need an amendment to that effect. We need an amendment including the road upgrade, which was not included in the original ACG, the gun, right?
Yeah.
And you have a copy of that, but I wanted to kind of put together all in one, so some to come forward on the committee agenda when published next time.
To publish it?
Yeah, to publish it. I'd like to, I think you're going to have to, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to have to contribute towards the cost of traffic lights, but not auxiliary lanes and turning lanes and everything else that Public Works would no doubt want at Gunn and Plessy, but that's the first intersection that we're going to have to do. I'm prepared to give timing in terms of the other two, these two here, but Gunn and Plessy has to be dealt with now.
Okay.
It's a nightmare.
Is that based on we would be basing that on the traffic impact assessment as to what our requirement would be for the contribution, or would that
I'm saying you'd be I'm arguing that you should be that you would be 100% for the traffic signalization, not for the what do you call the
modifications to the intersection. Traffic lanes and such, to turning lanes.
Okay, so not as per the TIA then.
Not as per
the traffic impact assessment then.
Traffic impact assessment has not been provided this
year. No, it has not been. No, I understand it hasn't been provided yet, but there's just that that's what you would like to see no matter what. So.
Well, the traffic impact assessment is saying it's not an issue. Is that what you're saying?
It's saying that the development would not increase the amount of traffic or the requirements for doing the upgrades. They would be required whether or not this development went in.
So in other words, what it's saying is basically that intersection has already failed.
I believe so.
Yes. Which is my point, which is why it needs it today. 45% of the traffic, according to the traffic impacts assessment, says 45% of the traffic that is generated from this development will use Gunn Road and proceed to the west.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just make it worse. Gunn and Plessy.
And is Gunn and Plessy bad? They didn't say it would be called worse?
What they're saying is from the traffic, I haven't read the traffic impact, but what I've just heard is that basically the intersection is, it doesn't matter about this development because the intersection has already failed in terms of managing traffic properly as a one-way stop, which is what it is now.
Oh.
It's a T-intersection, a one-way stop on Gunn, that's it.
Yeah.
So this would put, well, yeah.
Yeah, it's.
But there should be, as part of the motion, a motion as part of this application that that for the 2015 capital budget, that the cost of upgrading Gunn and Plessy in terms of, what was the term you used, Greg?
For traffic modifications to the lanes.
Traffic modifications in the intersection be included in the 2015 capital budget. And what about Day and we also have Day and Gane. It's a four-way stop right now.
Yeah. It's probably because of the design of the railway tracks there. Plus it's not like Plessy's. It's the warrant's not.
But you're going to need traffic lights there.
There will come a time.
You're going to have stacking taking place on Gunn Road in time. What will happen? It'll just keep backing up, and the prime roadway. So traffic signals required at Day and Gunn as well. At the get-go, though, I don't think road the request in the 2015 capital is necessary for.
No, because
for that right now. So.
We just actually received the traffic report this afternoon. So.
Oh, really?
From Stantec.
Okay.
And I had very little time to go through it.
Okay. And also the light at the half signal at Redonda and the Transcon Trail.
That's covered in our
in
the report already.
Okay, but immediately. Okay.
If I could, it was we have in our report 50% of the pedestrian control.
We have
so 50% of the cost.
Should be 100. The pedestrian half signal
should be 100% covered by
the developer. And I have no issue with the naming right of the park being John Weed Park, Nature Park. And, of course, we have no issue with regards to the land dedication being done. I don't think it's necessary to have an AT path also on the west side there. It should just be a sidewalk going in.
Sidewalks both sides?
Yeah, right? Both sides. And I think it's overkill, frankly, to have an AT path over in the west end there.
East end,
down at the bottom right.
This one here?
Yeah. Okay. That's overkill as well.
The dog park was planned between the two.
Pardon me?
Dog park was being looked at.
Well, you would have a dog park on one side, a dog park on the other, right? You have gates, fences. You'd go into the gate and you let the dogs run around and then you go back to the trail.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't need, your access would be off the main.
Okay. Just do it on the one.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need section area access for dogs. So that's a piece of trail you won't need to build. And what are we building over here? What is that? Is that a sidewalk and a trail running contiguous? What is that?
Which one on here?
Yeah, what is that?
It's the sidewalk coming up. There's an existing sidewalk from the school. It's sort of dead ends. So extending that sidewalk up and meeting into the pathway.
And you got a pathway also on the other side?
Coming down through the green space area in here.
Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't you have a path? Is it where the sidewalk is?
Mm-hmm.
Make that a pathway. And on the other side of the street, make it a sidewalk.
This side, do the sidewalk up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to have a pathway and a pathway.
That's fine.
You know, it's redundant. So, and not only that, your pathway continues north anyway.
Yeah, on this side.
Right? On that
through
side.
Through the park space here.
Yeah. So let's do a sidewalk instead. So, I mean, the big concerns that I have, as you can understand, are the traffic issues with regards to the intersection of Plessy and Gunn and Plessy and Gunn and Day immediately. Those are the... But those are the ones that are the big concern. And now it's, I'm not talking about intersection upgrades. I'm talking about traffic lights, right? So I want that clear.
Okay.
Is that something that you can work with?
No.
It's just the traffic lights, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Traffic lights are fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will bring the amendments. Let's get the amendments all organized, laid out clearly. And then we'll let it go forward. So,
all right.
Okay. I don't have anything else. Was there anything else? Did I miss anything? Do you have any water and waste? Notice the former director is sitting up in the gallery. Is there any issue with regards to servicing this?
For water lines and sewer, et cetera?
Yeah. What have they said? This has been circulated, correct?
Well, there's the... We have limited amounts of water pressure within this area, so we're dealing with the water looping that needs to come through, and that's why we're limited to single family, not having the multifamily. We couldn't get the fire protection in the system, but we can still get water to everyone. And as far as the sewer system goes, we're bringing it all the way from Devonshire.
You're bringing it all the way from Devonshire?
Yeah.
At the end through... So
the interceptor. The interceptor has to connect up to there. We go, and it goes to Day, and then there's...
So what would it would go through the bioreserve? Is that how
No. On Gunn.
Oh, it would go from Devonshire up to Gunn?
It goes Devonshire, Plessy, and then Gunn.
So right now it ends at Plessy and Gunn, is what you're saying?
Right now it ends at Devonshire and Plessy. The existing interceptor.
Devonshire and Plessy. Oh, okay.
Pardon me? And the city would extend part of the interceptor.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not all doing all this for nothing. Okay. Okay. Transit, what have they indicated?
We've actually had some brief discussions with transit in the last few days as to what possible services could come up here into this neighborhood. Right now there's three routes that run along Kildare, the 48, the 89, and the 90. They're looking at what it would take to bring either the 89 or the 90 or both of them up into this neighborhood and what that would mean.
So it's a timing issue?
There's timing, number of buses, making sure that they can actually extend the route and still keep the get a decent amount, headway on them.
Because, you know, I think transit's going to be quite crucial to this neighborhood.
just by the, by, you know, in terms of what, I'm kind of surprised that your lot size, and I'm assuming that you may be coming to vary them at a later date, because you've got a lot of R1M versus R1S, which I thought you would have had more R1S, to be honest with you.
Okay. On the first.
On R1M?
No.
Okay, if you can come forward, Norm.
Yes.
Norm Boyle, read your name and address for the record.
Norm Boyle, 685 Bonner.
Okay. Well, you just seem to have a lot of R1M versus R1S.
In the box as we go on?
Yes.
And what was advertised?
Sorry, I'm just going to get to that.
That is what we're trying to do at the start, and as you get farther into the subdivision, we were anticipating around the lakes, etc., would be larger lots.
Right, yeah, that's understandable.
And farther away from the main area, getting into phase 6 and phase 7, we anticipated probably 40 or 42-foot lots in there. But the whole idea was to keep it open where we could do the smaller lots, the 28, the 32, and the 36-foot wide lots, as that appears to be what the market is right now for the starter home buyer.
But so you're, can you vary down to an R1M? What's
the minimum lot width for all these categories is 25 feet, though it's the lot area that's the issue. I don't know how deep these lots are, so I got nothing.
Yeah, I was looking at lifestyle. So when you're looking at a 28-foot wide lot, I like to see them like 130, 140 feet deep to give them some...
So you're doing 28-foot wide lots with front access driveways?
Yes, single drive.
How wide is your garage?
The garage itself would be like 14 feet wide.
Also these single car garages?
Yes.
Single pitches. Okay. So I guess in light of that fact and what you just said, I mean, that's why I think transit's going to be very crucial. So what is transit saying in terms of timing coming into this neighborhood? What do we know? Do we know? What do we know?
We don't have a definitive answer yet. They're working on it this week, looking at what would potentially happen. We have spoken to them previously as to where the route would go and how it would be configured. On the loop road, they'd be able to come in and use the road going all the way around in either direction, depending on what their plans are. At one point, they were talking about taking a route that came up, went around the loop, came out, and then went along Gunn to connect up with the industrial, depending on the time of day for the route. With that, we have lots of side yards where we have room for bus stops on either direction of the road, so that you have your bus stops within the 400 meters of any lot anywhere.
Yeah, I guess the only issue with that, of course, is when you finish the whole interior, your development is almost done, or you're pretty well close to getting done, right? The collector route, once the whole collector route system is built.
Yeah.
Right? You're almost done the 500 homes on this side or whatever it is, right?
Correct.
So I guess the issue, my concern is that transit, people tend to move into a neighborhood or into a house, their traffic patterns start from day one. If transit is not supplied, they will look at other means and alternatives, and you're going to have people living with one-car garages and stacking cars on the street or in their garage or on their front drive, so on and so forth. So has there been any consideration given to looping transit earlier through your development, whether it be through a temporary throwaway transit loop being accommodated, for example, inside the park or off the side of the park or some of the park area or somewhere in the vicinity, or maybe developing it so that at least you can get a loop built, whether it be maybe it's your first road coming in here, that one, yeah.
And then doing just a transit loop, then coming back out again?
There or that road there that you have the arrow on.
Coming down this way.
Doing that as a loop to allow transit to at least get into your development.
We can discuss that with them. In the first phase of development, most of this is within walking distance of Redonda, so we'd be able to get to here, and if we were able to bring it in and do the turnaround for transit at the end of the road, come back out again, all of this would be within the allowable walking distance for transit. And then that would also serve a good portion of phase two as well. But once we get to phase three, we'd be able to come in and loop around one of the, or both of those roads to the next road that comes in through here, like you say, to have temporary access on the residential. But we would work that out with transit as we're going along to make sure that we're giving successful transit service.
So the transit, at one point, was talking about building a route going all the way up Redonda and then down Gunn?
That was a while ago that they were discussing that. That was during the precinct plan phase.
Because if they did that, then you wouldn't have to build anything internally. You would just catch the bus on Redonda.
Correct. They're looking at what that would mean for how far apart bus stops would be, et cetera, as stopping on Gunn would be very difficult. So they wouldn't have any stops on Gunn. It would just be a straight shot from Redonda over.
Okay. I guess the concern I have is that right now, ideally transit wants to get into, have a transit service. I think the number is 200 or 250 units.
Mm-hmm.
So as it stands right now, 200, 250 units would be phase one, phase two, and a little bit of phase three.
Mm-hmm.
But that still would not, based on the design of your development, just by the way it is, it's not your fault, based on the design of the development, it does not allow transit to come through. So there has to be a way to figure this out so that we can time transit service in a timely fashion that they expect, but without having your whole loop collect your system built, right?
There are ways of creating turnarounds for transit that would
so can feasible. We have transit here at the next meeting, guys? Is it possible? And get this sorted out, get a proposal to them, ideally to us before the next meeting?
Okay.
So, seeing that we can't do any more layovers. I hate to have to reject this because we can't get transit resolved.
We can definitely make sure that we have transit.
Okay, good. Thank you. I don't have any other questions, you guys? No? Okay, Jackie Wilkie. Thank you. Norm Boyle. Register in support. Did you have anything else to add, Norm?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Susan Russell, register in support.
Yep.
Okay. Registered. Anybody else in support? I've been called. Anybody else in support? No.
Chair?
Yes.
I noticed Mr. Wilkie.
He registered in support. You gave his address. He gave his address as being on Bonner?
No. That's Norm Boyle.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Boyle and
okay.
Wilkie.
Excuse me.
No problem. Anybody else in support who I have not called? Seeing none. Anybody in opposition that I have not called? Seeing none. For information, Mr. Barry McBride, do you wish to speak, Barry? You've been very patient. Okay. Thanks. Good to see you. Okay. Register in support. If there's anything you'd like to add at this point in time? So we will get all of these typed up and pull it all together and get transit and go from there. So have it for the next meeting. Thank you. And so I'll move that this matter be laid over with the changes to come for the next meeting.
Adjourn to the January.
Right.
Chair, if I may ask, what is the difference between this one and the previous presentation we had in which that one was requested to be rescinded, and this one is just laid over?
I can explain that to you after this.
Okay.
So Councilor Bowati moves that this matter be laid over.
So moved.
All in favor, please carry.